Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night broadcast. This is George Watkins, and we are ready to go. Thank you for stopping by and spending some time with us on this beautiful pre-summer evening. Sunday night is a wonderful time to meet together. Now, all of my life, and probably yours, if you're a older saint in God, you had Sunday night service as a habit. I don't think I missed a Sunday night very often over my lifetime. Even up to the last season of our church, we still had Sunday night service when most people in town didn't. I found that in the Sunday night gathering, there's a different spirit, really, probably among the congregation as much as anything, because the ones that come that came Sunday night came for a season of longer teaching and longer altar time and more soaking or being in the presence of the Lord, etc. That makes a whole bunch of difference. Sunday mornings in many churches, we've got a time clock going, especially when you have two services. You can keep track of it. At 9:30, you look at the clock, look at your watch and say, okay, it's time to stop worshiping. And they do most often because they have a schedule. Well, that's what it is. So we live with it. But Sunday night, here we are. Not in the church building, but on Sunday night, I wanted to take a little bit more time and a little bit more attention to some digging around in the Word of God to encourage and to direct and to inspire you to press on into the things that God has called you into and called you to be. When I say that, that's that destiny framed in us from God's bosom, from His very presence. Amen. Well, if you haven't subscribed on YouTube and you want to be a part of our ongoing family, do so. And they're supposed to let you know when we're on. I guess it happens. I don't need to be reminded, but some people would. And on Facebook, give us a like, a friend, and all that good stuff. Thank you for that. The thought today dropped in my spirit is be sure your sins will find you out. Now, some of this inspiration came from the local news, because whether you believe it or not, I still live in the flesh. I'm still embodied in my temporal body. So I have the same temptations you have. That is to swallow that garbage that we hear. Well, in this last week, we have had the news reports, that things that most of us already knew, that the pack of politicians and people running for office and people in office, some of our government, FBI and CIA and Justice Departments, and even some of the judges, they have been revealed in this last week as liars, not telling the truth. And when we hear this, we say, oh God, is there any hope? Is there any chance of this thing turning, because there are so many that are living to their own justification and walking after their own guidance, their own rights? Well, out of that, the Lord spent a little time with me, and I wanted to share a couple of verses with you concerning this thought of be sure your sins will find you out. Now, this latest hullabaloo that's going on comes out of the election and the whole election season. from 2016, when they come up with a phony story, made it up and put it in the news, and some of the government officials ran with it. They're telling us this is one of the biggest scandals America has ever experienced. Well, we read that and we say, oh, wow. And yet we see them still prospering. We see them still going forward. What's that been? 6 years now. We see them going forward. When I hear that, I go right to, in my thinking, to Psalm 73. Now, this is a psalm that Asaph wrote. I used to think that David wrote them all, but some of them were shared with others, including Asaph. He was one of the leader, one of the musical worshipers. Truly, and the Amplified, only God is good to Israel, even to those who are upright and pure in heart. Good statement to start with before you start confessing your weaknesses. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now he's describing discouragement. He's describing hopelessness and despair. And we have gone through several years now of this, and the predictions, according to the world news and the, you know, the natural side, is it's going to keep going on, get worse and worse. And then all the projections of what could happen start reeling off. Well, it's going to get worse, and they're going to do this, and they're going to choke us out, and they're going to throw us in a heap. Come on. Let's follow this just for a moment. Now, when I hear that statement, be sure your sins will find you out, this is one of the places I go. For I was envious at the foolishness and arrogance when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they suffer no violent pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they smitten and plagued like other men. Now, some of these leaders, politicians that have done such outright crimes and breaking the law with almost immunity, breaking the law with a grin on their face, and we say, are they above the law? They live like they are, and they go on, and they just live their life. Not so. Be sure your sins will find you out. All right? Now, he goes on to describe his eyes, how this prosperous criminal, this wicked man, is being prospered. He goes on and on and on. Then he gets to the 17th verse, and that's the key. That's the one that pivots me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood, for I considered their end. I considered the end of it. Judgment comes, folks. Judgment comes. Now, it may not come by Thursday, and it may not come when you pull the trigger, because I've often joked, if I could be God for one day, I'd take care of them quick. They would disappear in the desert somewhere. Well, and everybody said, thank God you're not him. Okay, let's move along off of that thought. Now, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, okay, the national scene, the world around us, the government, the health scares, the health organizations that want to run our life and tell us when we can go to church and when we can go shopping or if we can't go to church and so forth. The audacity of that governor in California made a law that you couldn't sing in church. Talk about arrogance. Lord Jesus, hear the word of the Lord. I know he does. He is the word. But I have to be reminded of that, folks. Be sure your sins will find you out. All right. Now let's just flip this a little bit and talk about the sins that some of us have committed. And Lord, I'd be a better preacher if I said some of you have committed. Well, I'll include myself in that. How do we know that there's not judgment coming for us? How do we know that someday that crime, that sin, that broken covenant that we experienced, God's not going to come down and crush us over it? Two things, just in short, two things. Number one, love covers a multitude of sins. And the second one is that we have been commissioned to cover the sins of others. Now, not the sins unto death. Sin unto death is the heavyweight where you deny Christ. You cannot sin unto death unless you deny Christ or deny the cross. And it, as long as you hold the thought in your spirit that the cross of Christ means nothing, then you cannot appropriate the redemption that covers sin. All right. So, this whole thought then about sins revealed. Look at Matthew 10 and 26. Nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Uh-oh. Nothing covered that shall not be revealed. All right, we're talking about two camps here. We're talking about the unrepented and the repented. We're talking about those who live on in arrogance and in self-will and stubbornness. Those that do that will come to a place where that sin, when I'm talking about all the things that would be level, you know, category to sin, broken covenants, missing the mark, outright criminal activity, breaking, their promises, all those things, they will be uncovered. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 26, those things covered shall be uncovered. One of the miracle actions in repentance is and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness are twins. I mean, they're co-laborers. That's a better word. They work together. As we repent, we're not, and I've talked about this some in the past, but let me just hit it again. The true core meaning of repentance is not for us to go back and find and list the 7,000 sins that we committed from the time we were five, but it's a mind change, a heart change, back to the place that we came from. We are going back to the penthouse. We're going back to the top. We're returning to the beginning. That's truly what repentance means. Now, the Bible says, godly sorrow bringeth us to repentance. So you cannot work up sorrow on your own. Godly sorrow brings us back to the place that we started, and that is innocence. We started out in childhood innocence in the bosom of the Father, into our mother's womb, birthed into this world as an innocent child. And sin then began to work on us until we begin to give in and yield to it because of the law. Now, when we have done that, then we become captivated by sin and by the actions of the things we've submitted to in the world around us. Sin comes in and causes us to bow to it in a process of events. I do not believe that we are born into sin. I believe the traditional thoughts are that children are innocent, and they put a number to it one time. I don't know where they came up with that. Some theology scholar put a number of 12. You had to be 12 before your younger days. And I thought for sure when she turned 12, she was going to hell, you know, because she was a character. She turned out to be a woman of God, a mystic, as it were, in some sense, where she's delved in, still deals with a realm of God that is just wonderful. But in those early days, we were taught that when you turned 12, if you weren't, you know, if you didn't know Jesus by then, you were in trouble. Okay, that's my story. Let's move on. I believe we're born into innocence, not into sin. Now, I realized that the Adamic nature and all that, and we've been taught for generations that we just pick up that sin. But I believe there's an innocence. That's why when a child dies at 2 months or 2 years without coming to a Baptist altar or a Pentecostal altar, you know, or a Catholic altar, and having rituals, that's why their spirit goes back to the Father, just like Ecclesiastes say. So, all right, let's look at it again. The rebellious, God begins to deal with them and bring them into a place where they will have some choices to make. I will never see the wrath of God. I will never see the judgment of God. I will never see the heavy hand of God like a wicked, rebellious person does. I will see the loving chastening of a father to bring me into correct attitude or direction. I will see the nudging of the father, what at times seems like a kick in the you know where, just to get me back on track. But he does it because he corrects his children. He chastises his children, not with sickness, death, and pain and accidents, but with the way he does it. He brings us around because of our conscience and because of the nudging of the Holy Spirit. But the wicked don't get that. They get broken noses and disasters. Now, he turned into the sanctuary. That's where he heard the word. That's where he felt the spirit. He knew God was still alive. He remembered that when he got into the sanctuary. So what's our sanctuary? Not just the church building, even though I'm an advocate of congregational meetings where we have the flow of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, the apostles and prophets. Wonderful things take place in the congregation. Paul said, don't forget the small group, the synago. Don't forget that. And don't forget the well, there's another word. It slipped my mind, but it's, trust me, my son. Don't forget the small group and the large group. They both have a place. Small group, more intimate, bonding, brothers, sisters together, walk together. Large group, Holy Spirit moves different, gifts move different. You have a different structure. Both of them, you hear the word, you feel the Spirit, you have an encounter with God, and it changes your attitude, your mind, your heart, and all those wonderful things. So, now, what about this covering of sin? How do we cover someone else's sin? Well, when I used to be in the flesh, if you listen to me very long, you should know my humor by now. In the flesh, when you get in that little stinky position, you say, well, God, hit him with a brick. Bless him with a brick. Oh, expose those scoundrels. Well, they're your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And they've just said something about you, or they've done something that has hurt you, hurt your feelings at least, or your emotions. What are we supposed to do about that? Well, we forgive. And when we forgive, the Lord covers that sin, and then he has the sanction from us. Now listen to this. We have the authority to release God to go and deal with that situation and bring that brother and sister back into a repentance, a place where they have godly sorrow. Bible says it's the presence of the Lord. It's the Holy Ghost that brings people to God, to godly sorrow. So let me say it again. When someone offends us, that's a sin. When someone gossips and lies, that's a sin. Wait a minute now. What if they fornicated and they committed adultery? It wasn't against me. I just heard about it. What do? You forgive them. You cover that sin. Wait a minute now. What about leadership? Okay, we'll deal with that another day. That's a whole nother game. You don't allow leadership just to keep leading people into darkness. Judgment must begin in the house of God. And that's one of the places that leadership is dealt with other leaders as they deal and interact with it. All right? Got that? Okay. But with you and I that walk among the body, we see somebody in sin, we cover it with forgiveness, and we turn that person over to the Lord that they may be corrected, chastened, and brought back to repentance. If we hold that place in unforgiveness, it binds them in their position of sin, and it binds us in our position of accusations and unforgiveness, and both of us suffer. So, when the phrase today is, be sure your sins will find you out, the principle is that everything that is hid in the darkness will be revealed at certain times in certain ways. Unless you and I come into Christ, we've come into God, and we've had a life that's, close to a bank robber or a thief. And we come to the altar and repent. So, are the cops after us? Are we hiding, from the government? You have to deal with that according to your conscience and according to the laws of the state. If you're running from the government or from the sheriff, you need to face that thing and you need to say, okay, Lord, whatever the judgment, you work it out. God's able to do miracles once you have a true repentance, once you come to Christ in true humility and submission. I've heard so many stories. One of my preacher friends had a son that was just a real character. And he was before the judge more than he should have been. Came this time, he's going to prison. This time, he is going under the prison. Came into court, and of course, mom and dad are praying. I think he was at that time too. He's really scared. And the judge says, I don't know what happened to your paperwork, but it's all gone. It's gone somewhere. And because of that, you're free. Go home. No, that's God can do that. Or he may not. You have to deal with some of those things. But the basic rule of thumb is, Lord, I'm going to cover that sin by forgiveness and prayer. I'm not going to spread it to all my neighbors. I'm not going to tell it, the juicy side of it. I'm going to keep it covered in love and prayer. Love covers a multitude of sin. And when we forgive, we shall be forgiven. Matthew, the Lord's prayer, the disciples' prayer, Lord, forgive our trespasses as we forgive their trespasses. Wow. That's a challenge. That's a tricky one, isn't it? Oh, God, don't let me hold aught against anyone, because I want the love of God and the forgiveness of God to be mine. Now, the scripture talks about burying your sin in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be, being a little dramatic, never to be remembered against us anymore. That's one I like. And my dad used to say, and he's put up a sign right on the edge of that river, water, no fishing. Don't be fishing around in there trying to drag up somebody's sins. God buried it, you bury it. Now, Let me add this. You're cooking along in a good Christian life. You've been saved 5 years or 10 years. Really no limit to some of this. Could be 50 years and it happens. Lo and behold, you remember your wretched self back in the days of darkness, and you did this dark deed, and all of a sudden you feel guilty and you wonder, oh God, what can I do about it? Well, he's forgiven you a long time ago, and I just have this cartoon picture, cartoonish thought, not rather, of God saying, what? What's that? I don't remember that. What are you talking about, boy? It's buried in the sea of forgiveness. Now, let me tell you. When that comes up, it's coming out of your mind, not your spirit. Your mind is trying to regurgitate something that it has no business dealing with. You have no business shopping in your old past. You have no business going back in your old memories and trying to remember the crimes and the sins that you used to commit and try to repent of them again because you're feeling lousy about it. Learn who you are, trust who you are, stay in that spirit mentality. And as the scripture says, have your mind renewed to the mind of Christ. Now, what does Christ think? How does God think? Well, God thinks, the Old Testament says, I've got plans for you, plans for good and peace and, you know, give you a place to live. I love you. That's the mind of God. And he's not double-minded. He doesn't have two thoughts. Well, he's got his fingers crossed, and when you're not looking, he's going to whack you one with a good heavy board. No. Jesus has the same thing. He said we're to have the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ? I came to die and resurrect for you. I ascended to the Father for you. I've come back in the Holy Ghost for you, and I live in you. Do you think I have anything but love for you? No. So, love covers a multitude of sin. Even though the wicked get paid back in spades, as they say. Because judgment will come, and judgment always leads to life. If the recipient of that judgment recognizes, I've got to turn my life around. Judgment leads to life if they'll recognize the fact that God's given them another chance to turn their life to Christ. All right. Well, I've pretty well butchered the subject that I started with today, so I'm going to wrap this thing up on this Sunday night. Love covers and we cover. I want you to hear that. Love covers and we cover. And when we do that, then the hounds of heaven, as they used to refer to the Holy Ghost, chasing people down and bringing them in, the hounds of heaven will come after you. That means they're going to get caught in the love traps of God. If you love them and forgive them, God can deal with it. If you don't love them and forgive them, they're bound up and they have no... God doesn't have a right to come in. He doesn't have the freedom to come in when we've bound them up in our unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for these few moments on this wonderful Sunday night. Don't forget, subscribe, and on Facebook, give us a like and a share. Share this with someone. Give a comment. That seems to be a big boost. And several of you have been giving, and some on a regular basis. What a help that is. Thank you so much. Gives us some gas in the tank. And if you are nudged to share with us a financial blessing, right then down there in the show notes, you'll find PayPal or snail mail. Both of them will get to us. We love that, and we love you, and we bless you back, multiplied, multiplied, multiplied over and over again. Amen. Well, Monday's coming, and when Monday comes, we're into a new week, and every week is filled with the goodness of God. And I like what Psalm 73 said, truly only God is good to Israel, even to those who are upright and pure in heart. God is a good God. Until tomorrow morning, early. We will see you then. Until then, let your spirit go ahead of you and prepare the way of the Lord as you find victory in your journey.